now. A very warm welcome to the Blue Toon Podcast, your unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. I'm Colin Byers, and with me as usual is Martin Smith. Martin, it's been a while, how are you?
It has been, Colin, yeah, very well, thanks yourself.
I'm not too bad, aye. Pleased to say, this week we actually have a guest with us, so we're not changing the format, I think we just thought we would just change things up a little bit. We've got none other than midfielder Jordan Brown. Jordan, welcome along.
Hi guys, yeah, thanks for having me. It's good to get some chat about football. Seeing as we can't do much else about it at the moment.
Aye, if we can't watch it or play it, let's speak about it.
May as well talk about it. Yeah, aye. Exactly.
So how are things? How have you been for the last sort of 6 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, on a personal kind of point of view, it's been massively frustrating. I think I speak for probably the majority of part-time players from the Championship down in Scotland, and I think. Yeah, for the first couple of weeks it was okay. We thought it might again be the kind of shortened lockdown, but obviously the news that's followed, and like you say, there it's been 6 weeks. It's been tough really. Again, we've obviously got work outside football, but I think football's the passion of the majority of the boys, and it's been a challenge. And there's no sunny weather this time to go out on the golf courses or go out in shorts and t-shirts. So I think it's been a lot tough. It has been tougher and. Yeah, just everyone's as desperate as each other to get back, I think.
We'll come on to the actual suspension in a little bit, but we should, first of all, officially welcome you back to Peterhead, because we haven't had much of a chance yet. So welcome back. How does it feel to be, feeling back to playing for Peterhead, but we're not actually playing, but how does it feel to be a Peterhead player again?
Yeah, no, absolutely delighted. I think I mentioned it a few times. It is a bit cliche, but I think it's good to, it's a club that's really close to my heart, and obviously played there for 5 years already and under the same manager and Jim. It's great to be back and great to see the familiar faces when I did get up there just for the I was there for the Montrose game just before Christmas, and then I was absolutely buzzing to get back and play Steny on the Saturday, and obviously that kind of felt the weather, and then since then I've not been able to get up to Balmoor again, so I'm just desperate to get back, yeah, and probably a wee bit, like I say, a wee bit more passion than the others to get back, because it's been so long to actually be there as a Peterhead player.
Was it strange? I know you were there for the Cove game early in the season. Was it strange to be back at Balmoor and not be a Peterhead player?
Yeah, it was. It was. I'd obviously done it the season before as well. But to be there, yeah, with Cove, and then I think I played the first game. I came back with Cove, and then obviously never played this season. But yeah, it was strange. I think the first time is always strange for things like that. And then after that, it's just try to go on with it. But everyone is, I've said it enough times as well, that the whole club, right from the chairman down to Jock and yourselves, everyone's welcome you, even if you're not a Peterhead player. So I think it's great to be back involved properly, and just like I said, desperate to even be able to contribute on the pitch, get on the pitch as proper.
Does it help to come back when you see so many familiar faces as well?
I think so. Well, I'm still not getting rid of my brother. I'm still in the stuff. I've had to come back and see him. But no, it is, to be fair. I mean, it was actually amazing that, to be fair, when I started to look at it, it was only, like I've said to you before, it's only Scott, Si and Jason that's still there from even leaving just 2.5 years ago. But yeah, right through the club, like I say, like all the board, all the guys that go to the games, Jock, Stan, and then the manager, Davey, Hoggy, and obviously the physio, Greg, they're all there. That were there before, so yeah, it's great to see familiar faces, and I think I'd like to say I'm coming back as a more mature person and player now than I was back then. So yeah, I'm really just desperate to be able to show that to people on the pitch, because I'm probably, yeah, like I said, different circumstances and different, I could feel and bring different attributes to both the team and the club now.
Yeah, so obviously we're not playing at the moment. Martin, your opinion on the suspension, has that changed in the weeks it's gone past, and where do you think we're at now?
No, it's not changed. I think the clubs have, you know, they've offered to do testing themselves, and yet there's still the suspension in play. I generally thought maybe last week we might have seen some sort of movement on when we could get back to the lower leagues playing. But I think the worrying thing now is we're almost going to be going into March with still no idea of or plan of when we could get back to playing. And you just wonder, it's just a question, are we going to be able to finish the season? You know, there's still a lot of games to go. And I do have concerns that maybe now there's going to be so many games to catch up on. Again, we spoke a couple of weeks ago that, you know, you could maybe get by with a 3-week break or a 6 weeks even. You could maybe try and get the fixtures fed in. But, you know, we're now going into almost 2 to 3 months, sorry, of no play, and it's going to be difficult to get the games in, I think. So, yeah, deeply concerned that we might not get to finish the season.
Jordan, you guys must kind of speak about this on a nearly daily basis. Which your guys kind of thinking on it?
Yeah, I think just similar to what Martin's saying, I think the more they're not going to, we're not going to get back kind of thing. And then this talk, yeah, we've all heard the talk of shortened seasons, that, but I'm a big believer, like, the season's already been shortened. You know, I don't know what's going to achieve by going any shorter than it is. But yeah, the guys, from our point of view, we've done various PFA surveys for kind of Scotty's been asking the boys their thoughts, and I think everyone's of the same opinion. Everyone wants back. That's the bottom line. But I think the boys were talking, was it the end of last week we were speaking, and just frustrating when we see this, the kind of no progress really, or no end goal. And I think just what we're looking at and thinking, right, okay, I think we've played 11 so far. That's right. Yeah, mm-hmm. We've got 16 games left. So I think if you're playing twice a week, that's 8 weeks. So it could realistically be done, but like you're saying, it needs to be done now. If it's happened, and then of course none of us are going to be involved in the Euros and that, but obviously there's a cut off for that, which is another spanner in the works. And then you've got like contracts and that comes up to, you know, and clubs messed about that much last year. I don't think they're going to be too willing to extend boys' contracts again, furlough or no furlough, you know. So yeah, it's just a messy, messy situation that, yeah, of course, the overall picture couldn't have been avoided, but I think there's got to be some sort of a better clarification is the big word, isn't it? Just clarification and responsibility from the government bodies, if it's the government, if it's the SFA, if it's clubs putting things together. It's just frustrating.
Was it a massive surprise to you guys when the suspension came in?
To be fair, it was, yeah. Like, literally, obviously, I need to get it right now, but I think the lockdown was obviously put in place, and then we were obviously still continuing. It hadn't actually had an effect on Scottish football as such. And we were as is, and then it was a Monday morning. I remember sitting at my desk at work, so I might actually go into work Monday and Wednesdays, and then working from home the other days, but I was in, and then all of a sudden I'm flitting through, and I'm thinking it's getting suspended. I think, no, it can't be. And then obviously they're just hitting, and everyone I spoke to since, the manager and the guys at the club, like, I think the clubs weren't consulted at all. It was just out of the blue. So it was just a bizarre situation. And we were out of the blue. And again, it would be accepted if it was for a couple of weeks. But the fact we're now sitting here almost into March and there's no real foot forward, it's mega frustrating.
I think that makes it.
I suppose it came out of the blues for yourselves as well, did it? Like, even fans and that.
That was kind of the worst thing. There was no sort of murmurings of something maybe going to be happening. It was just a case of you thought, that's it, it was suspended. And that kind of makes it worse for us and for you guys as well.
Yeah. I think, yeah, and even that, it was obviously we're supposed to play on the Saturday. So it's frustrating enough that the game being off on the Saturday at home at Stenney with the weather. And then it was rearranged for the Tuesday night, and it was this for the Monday. So again, boys. Right, like I'd prepared as I would normally on the Saturday, Sunday, Monday night. I'd planned to go out and do a bit and then be ready for the Tuesday. But then that was thrown on us straight away. So we had even hoped we'd maybe get that game over the links. I thought a big part of their thinking was to get as many Scottish Cup games out of the way as they could, and probably get as many lower league teams out as they could. But it never quite worked that way, did it? So I think, yeah, because even that Aldebrona game would go ahead that Monday night, didn't they? So it didn't make.
That's the
other
I don't
thing. See the problem that we'd have been, yeah.
That's the other thing as well. You've got a Scottish Cup to. How do you deal with that? Yeah. I mean, potentially, you know, if you get through against Stenishmuir, you've got a game against Killy now. Yes, it's at home, but it's against no fans, but it's still a Premier League team.
It's a Premiership tie, and then, yeah, if you speak to a lot of my Cove pals, they were due to go to Ibrox. And it's situations like that, yeah, it's frustrating. But I think, yeah, I'm sure people would accept the delay of the Scottish Cup if we could get back to at least playing league football. Okay. But yeah, you're right. I mean, even at my time in Peterhead over the last period, we strived off playing higher league teams. I think we get some great times, and especially at home against them. So you never know, do you? And if you get through a couple of rounds, and don't get me wrong, Stenny are a bit of a bogey team for for ourselves when I was there anyway. But it's just more games to look forward to. And but yeah, I think that'll be on the back burner for sure.
And what does it mean for the players not to be playing then?
Yeah, what do you mean? Just as in?
Just in general. I mean,
just in general,
you know,
yeah.
Your players, you know, unless you're injured, you're never really not playing for this length of time. So how?
It's so unique. I think in a way, last year when it happened, and also the season was called pretty early. So we kind of had an idea that you were going to have a certain amount of time off, and it was going to be back. So you could almost, I wouldn't say enjoy, but almost take a bit of time to sit back. Like, I think I speak for a lot of guys and part-time guys that, like, life's hectic. You know, you're working, you're playing football twice or three times a week, and other times of the week you've either got family or you're keeping fit in some way, and then you go into a weekend, you've got your games. But without the games, it's a massive hole, even the training, and it wouldn't be so bad. Like, I suppose last thing, like I mentioned there, weather-wise and that, you go out at night, you know, you might meet your pals and have a run legally or illegally close together. But now, at the moment, it really is just a massive hole. I mean, you're going through, feel lucky, of course, to be working Monday to Friday, but see, when you don't have, again, I talk about that, like, end goal or something to motivate you to get yourself up for, yeah, the weekend. And I think, to be fair, the only thing keeping us going is there's football on the TV every other day, but even that's becoming a bit tedious. It's probably making you a bit more frustrated than, because you're being able to watch all the teams play without you actually being able to go and kick a ball.
How are you guys keeping active at the minute? Is Hoggy keeping you busy?
He was, yeah. I was in regular contact with Hoggy over the first couple of weeks. Because obviously, it was a bit unique for me because I was obviously never played a lot at Cove the last couple of months I was there, and then got a good couple of sessions under my belt with Hoggy and the guys over the Christmas period, and then managed to last 70 minutes we run about with 9 men at Cove, and then I was feeling really good, so it was good for me to get that step. So I was almost felt like I was building myself up, I'll get up again. So Hoggy was working with me a lot the first couple of weeks, but then again he's the same, like, we've got that many running exercises we can be doing that you can run as much as you want, to be honest, but that football related stuff, and when again he's got no idea to say, right, okay, there's a game in 3 weeks time, we need to do this to build it up. So yeah, just doing the same, kind of the same running stuff, just for your own, for your mental sanity as well, than as your physical stuff, just to get out there, and you'll have seen this at the Strava things that we've kind of been on, so just to keep the spirits up, and again, it's a good way to see people as well. I mean, I don't enjoy, I think Jason was invited along with us on Saturday, and he won't be back, because he was about a mile ahead of all of us. So. But no, I'm lucky in that sense, that a lot of my good pals, especially the Cove boys, a lot of them, I'm good pals with them. We run, we meet and run up, you know, regularly, and we're all at a similar situation right now, to be fair.
Martin, have you had any thoughts on, you know, if would you, as fans, would you want them back this season, or do you think it's more realistic for maybe starting next season?
I think the first of all, just getting back to playing football would be a success for this season. I generally don't think we'll get fans in this season. I really can't. I think we've got to be hopeful for August or September, even if there is a slightly delayed start, that we know that there'll be fans in. Because, you know, just as a general assumption, clubs cannot survive without fans coming to the door. And I think everybody would take a shortened season again, potentially next season, if we're guaranteed crowds in September, October time. I think getting fans in is probably more feasible next season. I kind of see it happening this season, providing we get to continue, that is.
Yeah, I suppose you guys are in a bit of a... You'll have enjoyed the privilege that's came with the kind of commentary and that, have been at the games as well, have you? And I suppose that makes it more keen for you to see everyone else back in the grounds as well.
It's we've been extremely grateful to Peter Hyde for asking us to do that. And we've been extremely lucky to get into the games this season. So... yeah, it's a unique experience, but it's a good experience in a way, but that experience is different from what we normally go through on a match day.
Yeah.
And I think you'd much rather get back to that as being normal than what we have been doing, which is good. Yeah. But you know, I think in the long term, we'd like to get back to mixing with the fans as we were, and even just because we usually go with my dad, and he's missing it, so we kind of get him in just now, so we'd not want to be in with that kind of thing. So, but for you as a player, how's it been for Nahan fans, and what's it been like?
Yeah, I think for us, probably not as strange, because obviously, you know, our fans are what, in between 500 and say 1500 on average or whatever. So, I mean, but even still, like, I was thinking about that the other day, actually, like, the banter you have with you're pitch side with the fans, you know what I mean? It's stuff that even away fans at Balmour, at Cove, like, you're always in interaction with them. You're so close to the pitch. You end up knowing a lot of the guys that are at games. And I think right at the start, I think when we went back kind of pre-season last summer, you're in a ground playing against teams like, I think we played Dundee in that last summer, but like, you're in this ground playing against teams and when you, not even when you were younger, were you playing in front of nobody, just the coaches. You know, your mum and dad would beat the game when you were younger. So you're literally playing with nobody, and it's just coaches. And obviously a lot of the clubs now, well, all the clubs now have put in the videos and that so people can watch it. But right at the start, it was very surreal. But yeah, you do miss like celebrations and stuff, you know, like just with the, I can't wait to hear that banging of the boards at Balmour again. I never thought I'd say that, but you know what I mean? Like that kind of feeling, a fans group behind the goal. And like every time I knew where my mum and dad were sitting at games and stuff, you know, you've got that idea, just that wee things that just go unnoticed. But yeah, it's surreal. And we hope as much as any normal fan does that it can get back sooner rather than later.
Do you think it affects players' performances?
I think maybe at the start it did a wee bit, yeah. I suppose it would vary throughout the levels, and I suppose the stadiums you're playing in, it might feel a bit more surreal playing in stadiums that have got kind of four stands with nobody in it than it would at the kind of places where, yeah, there's some open ends or whatever. But yeah, I think it'll definitely have an effect, and I suppose it'll be like the flip, like it'll be a flip when we go back, and people will be like, "Geez, there's somebody behind that goal, like somebody will be slaughtering you by the time 5 minutes have gone in the game." So it'll just be, yeah, and I think that's the banner that everyone misses, though, both players and fans.
Playing at the Balmour would be like playing at a full Hampden Park or something like that.
It'll be amazing.
Before we move on, then, which your thoughts, and do you think we're going to get back? Today's kind of announcement really hasn't helped much at all, I think. But what's your gut saying?
Yeah, I think again we're fed up guessing, aren't we? But I really hope so. From my heart, I'm absolutely desperate to get back, and we'd love. And I don't see, like I say there, I think 16 games is probably doable in 8 weeks, but when does that 8 week start? If it doesn't start till the end of March, then you really are struggling. If they were to turn around, which I don't think again will happen, because you then look at boys' fitness, even fitness levels and that. You know, if they're to turn around on Monday and say, right, there's going to be games at the weekend, I think a lot of people, is that fair as well? Is that a fair way for the clubs? Would the clubs agree to that? I'm not sure. So I think they would, but yeah, I hope so. But the longer it goes on, and the more weeks it pass, and the more lack of clarity going forward, then it's not looking likely. But it'll be, no matter what situation, I think it's going to be a mess. There's going to be numerous fallouts. So yeah, I think it's just a case of taking it day by day, even, isn't it? You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring with a statement or so. So what about yourselves? Is your gut feelings?
I've kind of flipped back and forth. I think initially, Martin and I kind of discussed this maybe in the last podcast, if it was in the one before. I'm the eternal optimist. I always thought we were going to get back. Martin was slightly less optimistic about it, but now I think I'm kind of more on the verge of, well, like you're saying there, if we didn't start almost straight away now, it's never going to get started again. It's all right, kind of saying, Peter, he's played 10 or 11 games, but there's teams like Clyde have only played 8. Mm-hmm. They're 3 behind already without having to get them to play extra through the week and things like that.
Yeah, so, no, and I think when you would never say it, you would never really say it publicly, but like, I would imagine like half of our games in the last wee while would have been off anyway, you know, so it might have that up their sleeves, but then where do you fit them in, you know, like part-time football. I think I always said that as well. Like, I think part-time footballers would be are raging when there's a midweek game, especially from up here, down south, or down south up here. But I think anyone would bite your hand off for that at the moment, if work permitted. You know, some people generally might not be able to do it. But yeah, so, and I think you look further down though, and then what do they do with playoffs again? And I mean, you look at the Highland League and Lowland League. Highland League's three games in, and Lowland League is halfway through. It's like, how do you? Okay, you go on last year's and say, right, okay, bro, I deserve a thing, but the Lowland League's not so simple. I think there's about five or six teams who would want to try and have a go at it. So, and then does relegation get written off again? You're just not sure, are you? You just don't know.
Well,
so many cans of worms.
I know, it's well above our pay grades anyway. Let's put it that way. Right, we'll move on then. We did ask for some questions for you guys who are sending in some of the questions. So we have a few. We're not going to go through them all, but that we've got. So we'll go through some of them.
No worries.
First one up then, who was your idol as a kid?
So, a massive Man United fan, but I think my biggest idol player-wise was when I was probably about the age when I was probably starting to take notice, if it was like 12, 13-year-old, was probably Kaká. He was an amazing player, and I think he came to Old Trafford with AC Milan once and absolutely tore us apart. So I thought, rather than forgive him, I'll just idolise him. For that couple of seasons, I think he was incredible, and then he obviously... I think at one point, well, he was the last Ballon d'Or winner before Messi and Ronaldo kind of took over football, and then I think at one point he was like the highest transfer fee as well when he went to Real Madrid, so it never quite worked out there. But
yeah,
I think his kind of position and goal scoring from midfield and that, I think, was amazing.
Yeah, model your game on him if you were that kind of age.
Aye, at a very, very relaxed level.
Next question come in was, what was your favourite Peterhead goal?
Yes, I was just having a think of that there when you mentioned that. I think there'd be a few. I think that double I don't think a pre-season friendly can count, but the two I got against Aberdeen when I first joined from Aberdeen, I think that was pretty incredible that night. I think it must have been about 2,000-3,000 at least folk there as well, which was good. And then the first one I got against Brecon 1-2-1 in the cup. And I seem to have scored a lot against the same kind of teams. I remember at Somerset Park, which is an amazing stadium, and obviously Ayr are going, an amazing stadium, I say that, but it's a classic stadium in Scottish football. I've been lucky enough to score three times there. I think my only, actually working out the other, not longer, the only goal from outside the box was there. And I scored that and put us 3-2 up with a minute to go on I think it was a midweeker, maybe 4 or 5 years ago now. We actually went up the end and conceded on it, finished 3-3, so I can't include that. I got a double there that day as well when we won 4-2. That was another good one. But I think there was one start of the season where we really had our best season, where we obviously ended up finishing third and got to the final of the Petrofac. I think we played Stranraer away. I think it was the second game of the season. And I think we were about 4-5-1 at the bookies. I remember the boys talking about it on the way down. I think, how can we be that going to Stranraer? And we ended up winning 4-0, and I scored a great diving header that day. So I think one like that, I'll go with that for now.
Yeah. What was your favourite Peterhead game?
So the game, again, there's probably three that stick out. Well, apart from that Aberdeen pre-season friendly, but the three that stick out would be winning the league at Clyde that day was amazing. Managed to play the whole game that day, and yeah, it was a special, special day. I remember just... My dad, like I touched on earlier, my dad and my grandpa were actually in the crowd that day in the away end, and they're kind of looking down. I think Annan, if I remember right, Annan were playing East Stirling, and if they never won and we won, I think we were 2-0 and we're looking up, and it was just brilliant to see all the kind of fans and that and that day. And then the 5-3 at Falkirk was special, wasn't it? But we won't talk too much about it because Rory will steal the limelight there. But no, that was amazing. And what ended up for us to go on from there and reach the final was amazing. And I think we were 2-0 down in 15 minutes or something.
Something like that, yeah.
And then the final of that competition, I have to say that, to be a full house at Hampden against Rangers, and obviously it never turned out the way we wanted to. But I think I always say that to people, if you analyse it over it, I think Taverner scored a worldie from outside the box. Ali Gilchrist scored an own goal. And they scored two in the last 5 minutes. So apart from that, we've done all right.
Aye, if you... If
yeah, probably actually...
You've done a couple of goals, it's all right.
Goals, be all right. No, there was actually... There was one more game, sorry, just the one that was caught in my head there. We played on Boxing Day away at Airdrie, and we were... I think we were 1-0 up and went 3-1 down. And they were actually down to 10 men. And then Stephen Noble, the captain at the time, was sent off about 10 minutes to go. And we're 3-1 down. And I think me and Ryan equalised. Ryan scored to make it 3-2, Ryan Strachan. I equalised to make it 3-3. And then Alec Gilchrist scored in the 90th minute for 4-3. So we couldn't have scored 11-10. But Steg was then sent off. And he likes to chirp up with that one. He said it was the best game for Peterhead or something. The best decision getting sent off that day.
Next question, Kamed. Your injury you got against Aberdeen. How bad was it? And did you think you were ever... It was going to be that bad that you weren't going to play again?
Yeah, I think I do get asked it, like I said to you before. I have been asked that a lot, and the more I think the more time passes since then, I look back and think how lucky I was. I think I was lucky that day. There were so much people there. It was such a big event, which wasn't good at the time because I hated all the everyone would ask, you know, and everyone would ask around it. And I think, but I was lucky to be surrounded by kind of the people at Cove there, the ambulance people, the Aberdeen people. There were so many good people there at the time that I kind of felt lucky if it was going to happen again to happen then. And I went straight to hospital, and I was severely lucky really that it just went down to severe concussion. So I went to hospital straight from there, got a CT scan, and luckily, it was just severe concussion. So I think the hardest part of that was the following 2 weeks. I moved back in with mum and dad, and I could generally do nothing apart from basically lie in a room and stare at dark walls. So coming back from that was hard, just more on a mental side, you know, like actually being on the pitch and physically coming back on the pitch was okay, but the mental side, and did I take long enough out? Because I think I was back, I think that happened obviously pre-season, I was back, I managed to come on in the first Highland League game of that season against Fraserburgh. So I don't know, and it's obviously been in the news recently as well, the kind of head injuries, and I've seen another one today. The guy, is it Gordon McQueen?
My United player, yeah.
Yeah, so he's just had dementia. I think it's different to that now, but obviously they're out with him and his one and that. So I think, yeah, it's just something to be wary of. It can happen. It was a complete accident, and it can happen at any time. And I think it's just, like I say, the tough side of it was the mental side, and try to, not so much on the pitch, you don't think about it on the pitch because it's just something you naturally do. I still throw my head anywhere if it meant scoring a goal or saving a goal. But I think the mental side of it, out with it, and just speaking to people again and saying, oh, are you okay? And them trying to ask you. So no, I think since then I've matured a lot since then, and yeah, learned from it, and I would say try and avoid it again. But like I say, it can happen at any time during any game, I would say.
Next question come in. Have you any thoughts on what you want to do after you finish playing?
I think I'd definitely like to stay in the game, yeah, on a football side of thing. I have talked about doing my badges and I would love to do them, but I think football's a short career. I spoke to a couple of guys, like coaches and stuff, and I think they say it's short enough, you know, actually enjoy playing while you can, and there's heaps of time for that as you get near the end. So I think it's definitely something I would like to do, probably going to coaching and then hopefully into some sort of management level or coaching level at least to learn it. I mean, we're lucky up here as well. Like, we're unlucky to a certain extent that where we are geographically, that it restricts us to a few clubs, really. But I think it also brings you closer as well. Like, we've got a lot of close, like, group of people around here who we could, you know, who could help each other and that go down that kind of route of things, which is something definitely interested in the future, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, funnily enough, comes up to my next question. Maybe a slightly controversial one, but somebody's asked, do you think Peterhead should be signing more local players?
Yeah, I think it was always a frustration in my first period that it was kind of, and again, when I left, obviously, and then Rory left, like Jason was felt, he was in a position where, unbelievably, when he'd signed, I think we had myself, Mason, Rory, Scott Ross, you know, there was a few back then, even then, and that didn't seem enough. And now it seems crazy that it's just myself, Jason, and obviously young Lenny. So, it's a question. I'd love to see more local boys. I mean, when I was first there as well, obviously Dean Cowie was there from kind of only boy from, well, no, I know he's not exactly in Peterhead, but I think, yeah, it would definitely be someone. I think the manager has touched on it in the past, hasn't he? Like, he's tried to get players from Highland League, and for whatever reason, it's not been the case. But I think definitely the guys that are at, I think you can see it with Cove now as well, though. Like, it's not as easy as people think. I don't think the local side of it. I think they're having to go down south for one reason or other as well. But don't get me wrong, I think the players up here are more than good enough. And I think with Cove coming in the league, it's obviously made a massive difference. I think before Cove were in the league, I used to speak about this quite a lot. I think there was maybe only a handful of guys from this area that were actually playing professional football in Scotland, you know, which was crazy. And obviously with Cove coming into that, generally the whole 11, you know, 11, 12, 13, 14 boys would be now increased into the league. So, no, I definitely think so. And I'd hope going forward, yeah, there would be local boys and that would come up to Peterhead, because, like I say, I can't speak highly enough of the club. I know there was a period probably just before I was came. I don't know if you kind of remember, and a lot of guys used to go from kind of probably before Jim was there as well. Actually, a lot of guys that were leaving Aberdeen or going on loan from Aberdeen would go to Peterhead. It never quite worked out, I don't think, for them, apart from maybe Ryan Stratton and Scott Ross, who were there for the long haul. But I think I couldn't speak highly enough of the club, and I think it's definitely someone who's leaving Aberdeen or a young person should, you know, go and have a crack at it up here, definitely.
What's the most embarrassing thing that's happened to you during lockdown?
I've seen that one kicking about. I don't know what time this going out at. I don't know if I can say. No, I'm only. I don't actually know what he was getting at there. I think he was trying to get.
I know. I wondered if he was fishing for someone, but obviously, he didn't care. The last thing then, were you and Jason competitive as kids?
Very much so. Yeah.
You're competitive now.
But I always say I kind of matured out of my competitiveness when I was probably leaving school. I think he'll never mature.
It's that thing of having a brother, isn't it? It's just you want to try and outdo each other, but at the end of the day, you probably look out for each other as well, do you?
No, definitely. But I think he does need to. I don't know if he ever will, and that's probably part of why he's such a good defender at times. At times when he's, you know, over aggressive and that what you kind of get, you know, because like if you take that out of him, he's probably not the same person. So I'll never try and take it out of him. But I think it got really bad when we were younger, when I couldn't even play a game of FIFA against him and beat him without the kind of house being ripped down. But no, I think, like I say, I would never take that competitive streak out of him, but I think he does need to, and I think he will. It will come, you know, it will come with age and the more he's surrounded by, like, there's a lot of experienced guys now at Peterhead, really, that can help with that. And I know the manager is constantly on his case to kind of address that side of things. So no, but competitive wise, yeah, always competitive. I think you don't play kind of at a level of football if you're not competitive to an extent. So no, with him, it's something I'm hoping to that me coming back as well has a good influence on Jason as well, you know, to take his game back up a notch. I know he had a great first season and he won the league in the second year. So it's just, but playing at this level was new to him as well, you know, the league one. So it's always a learning curve. And I think you do tend to forget how much younger Jason is. So he's still got many years ahead of him. And like I say, he's overly fit.
That's the thing is, you say now that he's still young. He's been at PA for a while now, but he is still relatively young in terms of, you know, footballing wise. So yeah, he's still got a long way to go.
Yeah, definitely. I think I'd like to say I'm still kind of, I mean, I'm at 28. I'd hope that sort of kind of be in my, I've got quite a few years left myself yet as well. So if I can still do it, then I think he has. So no, I'd hope, yeah, like you say, I hope that both of us, to be fair, have a good few years at Peterhead yet. But I know I've only signed to the summer and I might end up playing one game out of that. So, I'd manage to do enough and the same with Jason to go and extend our contracts further and hopefully get this club up challenging like the top of this league where we have been previously under Jim. So I don't see the reason why not. So
there is one final question. I think you've probably seen it last night as well. A Mr. A. Rogers wants to know how many haircuts you've got left.
See, I've had this answer ready for a while. I think Andy's just worried that I'm going to have more haircuts than him at his age. I've always said, though, my choice of football clubs hasn't helped me, because like the wind at Peterhead, I think Davy Nick used to joke me when I was younger and I was a bit naive. Like, he would send me out for the warm-up and see how windy it was to see how far my hair kind of floated away. I get a lot of stick for that, and it is what it is, you know. It's size banter is right up there as well. I remember before the cup final, I don't know if you remember, he did an A to Z thing as well, Si, and he kind of said, oh, Jordan, you'll either find him in the penalty box or his hair in Rose Ed or something like that. Classic Si. But I think Andy, it's good coming from Andy, you know. I think Andy's, Andy's a great lad and great banter, I think. Yeah. Ross Smith's one was quite funny as well. That was a good. Did you see that?
No, we didn't see that because he's got a private account, so we didn't actually see that.
He was asking if I still worked in a call centre. So that was just a wee funny story from back in the. Obviously, Ross was there, and it was really good. Ross being there that first season. I was there. I think we were probably a couple of youngest boys in that squad that won the league. And we went to Magaluf end of the season, and yeah, we won't talk about really much of that, but. He turned around to me one day in Magaluf, it was like the Saturday, and he said, oh, by the way, are you still working in a call centre? And I said to him, Ross, I've never worked in a call centre. So just a wee bit of a joke, you probably had to be there, but it was like, what are you talking about? So he never lives that one down, but Ross is a good lad as well. And he's went on to have a good career for himself as well. I think he's playing for BSC Glasgow now, I think.
I think so. That's a decent league down there now as well, the West of Scotland, so...
That's what I'm saying,
So, on to you then. Back at Peterhead, what was your kind of reasons for wanting to come back?
I think like I've touched on, it was a club that I know a lot of, I know a lot of the people at. So I think just that trust again, and trust in the general, the whole club, you know, the manager, to what a difference it makes when, you know, I don't feel like I'm going in there and I'm having to prove to Jim, you know, like, I need to be this, need to be that. Jim knows me, I know Jim, and I think that mutual trust really does go a long way in football, you know.
Looking at your stats from your 5 years previously, you obviously joined in 2013, 193 appearances, 31 goals, league winner in your first season, the 2016 Petrofac Cup final against Rangers. A big 5 years, a lot happened. Were they pleasing overall?
Absolutely, yeah. I think I wouldn't be who I am today without have been playing for Peterhead for that 5 years, basically. You know, I think the first year was a real learning one. It was kind of probably the first. I know I was in the first team at Aberdeen and kind of on the fringes, but to be part of a team that was every week and fighting for a league, and the quality we had in that team, and looking back, you think of it and think, yeah, like, oh, it was amazing, you know, because even last year with Cove winning the League Two, it's not easy, you know. And at the time, it was, we almost made it easy in the second half of the season. I think there was obviously an up and down, but I think winning most weeks was just coming natural to us. So that was brilliant. And then the second season, I think it came to the January and hadn't been playing too much, but I'd managed to score a couple of goals. And then I think Gary McDonald came in the January, and I remember seeing that, I think, the other week on your thing, and He was brilliant. Like, he came in and scored. His stats were ridiculous. Like, the goals he scored, wasn't it?
It was 7 and 14, I think he got.
Something like that, yeah, for a midfielder. So I think I kind of, and I managed to score a few towards the end of that season as well. And I think from there, like, obviously, probably my best season was the season where the club did the best. And in that middle season when we almost kind of finished second, and obviously it fell apart at the end with the playoffs after the high of the cup final. And then, yeah, to go the disappointment of being relegated after that was hard to take, because the squad, we felt, it just shows you how quick football can turn, and especially this league can turn as well, because we felt we had a good enough squad that year to go and, you know, go and challenge up the way. So to end up in the situation we were in, again, you've got the excuses, you're never helped with the injuries and that and suspensions, but I think we fell short in the end, and it was a horrible day that day. But and then my final season, I think you couldn't make it up. Like, Montrose, I don't think we'll ever have a season like that again. And the way they pipped us, I think, was it goal difference or was it? It was goal difference, wasn't it?
It was a point.
Or a point, yeah, that's right, yeah. So, yeah, 1 point. And I think we went to, the day we went to Montrose, and we were 2-1 up just after half time. I think I scored in that game as well. And then we kind of threw it away with two defensive mistakes that just that probably cost us that year. But obviously the boys got the glory the year after that, and I went away to Cove and managed to achieve what we wanted to achieve there as well, and getting promoted. So yeah, it worked. I think me leaving worked well for everyone that year.
I was about to say, was it difficult to leave then?
It was, yeah. It wasn't something I ever planned on doing or ever planned on leaving. But I think it just shows you the benefit of leaving on good terms as well, you know, of always kind of never burning any bridges, especially in football. You don't know when you're going to need somebody or when someone's going to need yourself. So, yeah, it was hard, especially with Jason being there and Rory being there, really close with them. But yeah, the goal was to just go and play slightly more, which I ended up doing in the first couple of years at Cove. And obviously achieving something with a close group. It was a unique group at Cove, you know, like it's boys that we played together from Aberdeen at young ages, which I don't think will happen in a long time again, you know, to have that same group bunch of boys and that were so used to each other. So, but yeah, to come back, like I say, was a no-brainer, especially once I spoke to Jim. So, yeah.
You mentioned the manager there. He's approaching 10 years at the club. You obviously had a big part of that. What does he mean to you guys as players, and what's he like overall?
Yeah, I think again, I've grown to know Jim very well, and in the time I've been there, he can be harsh, he can be critical, he can be. But I think what Jim's great at just honesty is it's just blatant up front, and his man management's second to none. Like he'll take time out to speak to you. To speak to anyone probably, and you probably know that as well. I think you see him in the press, I think, next every day at the moment. I think that just a testament to Jim, you know, he's willing to speak to everyone. And I think when it comes to match days and match stuff, I think he's been there for so long now, like he knows exactly how to get out of people. And I think, like I say, with taking guys on, like Davey's been there as well with him the whole time. I think obviously Jim Butter, the goalkeeping coach, is now there when I went back. I think he adds a lot to the kind of coach staff as well. And then you've got the kind of modern day outlook of Si as well, which is helping. So I think all this stuff's now in place for the club to carry on. And I think Jim wants to, as far as Jim wants to carry on, he will carry on, you know. So I think it'll be completely up to him. I think we've seen that. Might have thought he was going to leave at various points over the years, but I think he's justified every decision. Like even when we got relegated, he could easily walked away, and to be fair, we thought he might have walked away then, but I think it just shows you what kind of character Jim is and how well respected he is, not just by Peterhead people, but by Scottish football as well. To reach something like that now, no matter what club you're at, is it? It's, I think Derek McInnes is just about the only other one, and he's been on his last leg for a while as well, isn't he? So I think
for a year.
Well, yeah, so exactly. I think it just shows you, because no one, and I know, yeah, you could argue, yeah, Aberdeen and Peterhead, completely different size of clubs, but no one's really kind of went bang against Jim, have they? I mean, even when we were relegated, I think people ended up rallying around, and the club got there justified by getting back, and Jim gets them back in the League One again, which...
I think he's a good ambassador for the club as well, isn't he?
He is, absolutely. Absolutely. He's been there that long now, I think. Even you talk to Jim and he'll tell you about Nottingham Forest and Dundee United and that as well, but I think he would speak about it for your head just as highly as them, without doubt. And like you say, everyone knows Jim, probably UK wide, you know, at a minimum, everyone knows Jim McAnally, Peterhead manager. And I hope he stays. I hope he stays for as long as I continue to play for the club, because it's something that I feel I owe a bit back to Jim for kind of taking me back and showing the trust to take me back. So not just Jim, the kind of everyone at the club. So I'm just desperate to get back there and on that pitch again.
Martin, he's mentioned there about the coaching and things like that. You guys got like Simon Ferry and Derek Lyles, obviously, taken on board as well. Do you see long term any of these guys maybe taking over?
Taking over from Jim at Peterhead?
Yeah.
I think that we've seen lately with Simon, obviously we know that he does a few of the training sessions with the guys as well. I think Jordan touched on it there. He's got the more younger look on the football as you see it. I generally think if you've got Simon and even Derek with the experience that he's got in the game, I think there's an argument to say that the two of them maybe is like co-managers, or one is an out-and-out manager with the other one assistant, I think would be a good combination. But I think we've definitely got a few years with Jim left, that's for sure.
Jordan, is it something that it's brought up amongst the guys? You know, maybe Simon being a coach long term, or Derek wanting to do something after he finishes?
Yeah, I think obviously with me just being back in the door, I've not had too much of that conversations with the guys and been able to interact with them that much. But I think definitely, even I'll go back to my just before I left, like obviously Cracks, David McCracken was there as well, and you've seen what he's went on to do. So I think that would have generally been the idea as well, to kind of integrate them into that sort of positions. And I definitely think people like Cracks and Sai, again, they live and breathe football, don't they? So I think, yeah, and again, from the outside of it, looking in before I came back, it would be something that people will probably say, the likes of Sai. I don't think he's hidden the fact that he would like to be a manager one day. And if the succession plan can be there, then Peterhead's such a family-run club anyway, isn't it? You know, and guys like Sai's been there for, Sai must be coming up to 6-7 years as well. So I think something like that integration plan is probably something that, and probably something Jim would be keen for eventually, you know, like you say, Martin, hopefully not in the next, I don't think it would be in the next 2-3 years, but when the time does come, I think that steady succession plan, because with the guys that Jim's assembled as well year in, year out, you know, like the players he managed to attract, and that's not just because of Peterhead, is it? That's because of Jim and Sai and all the guys down south that speak so well of the club. So yeah, I think going forward, that's definitely something that I'm not so sure. I don't know Dell as well, so I probably can't say, but I know he's a great pro and a great player over the years, and from what I've seen of him, he's a great lad. So I'm sure he's, if that was an interest to him, then it's something that him and Sai are quite close, I think, as well. So I think it's something that would definitely be an option. But Sai's contacts now are obviously unbelievable. So I think he would have quite a few choices of people to take with him as well.
But Simon, even though he does, obviously, the Open Goal podcast and things like that, he's still quite down to earth. Only time that we've wanted to speak to him about anything, he's very open and very willing to do that. And again, that is what he does for the club as well.
Yeah, he's brand new. And I think you mentioned the word ambassador there earlier with Jim. I think Sai's exactly that as well. I think Sai's talked up Peterhead for years as well. I think starting with his kind of boogie bus patter back in the day when everyone was on the party bus. But I think, yeah, obviously I've known Sai from before and before he started this stuff. And Sai to me is just a great pro and a great player, you know. And he's someone that I kind of looked to learn from the first time he came in as well, because at the end of the day, he's had a great career as well. He played at Celtic, and if it wasn't for injuries, I believe he would have been higher up there, and he's went down and played under guys like De Canio and that. So you can't argue with the experience that Sai's had. And I think that's a side of Sai you maybe don't see as well. And I kind of maybe forgot it myself as well, the first couple of training sessions I had with him. I think he's very, and being a coach now as well, like, he's obviously got a slightly different outlook on it, but he's still super hard, you know, like super hard. It doesn't matter who it is he's speaking to. It doesn't matter if I'm in the door for 2 minutes, he can be all over me, you know. It's just different things. And I know the front to Sai a lot of the time is banter, but I mean, deep down, his football knowledge and football passion will never be questioned, you know. And I think you've seen that. You see him talking. I do watch some of his podcasts now and again, and I try to watch as many as I can. And I think he mentioned after the Cove game, I mean, he was disappointed in himself, you know, more than anyone for getting sent off. I think, he says, he's in training all week. He's the one that's talking to us about where we should be, what we should be doing in certain positions of the game. And for him to then go and leave us exposed as he did, rightly or wrongly, you know, the situation in the game, I think he felt a bit for that. And I'm sure he'll be frustrated coming back as well, like when or if we do get back, because he'll have to sit out a couple of games. So, yeah, that'll annoy him. But Sai's a fit boy as well, and he kid you on and say he drinks beer all day and eats shite, but he's mega fit. Him and Scott and Jason, I think, are mega fit boys.
Right, we're going to wrap things up then. Just before we go then, Jordan, one thing that you've missed, or one thing that you're looking forward to if we get back next season with fans?
Scoring goals. Yeah, scoring goals. Is that what you mean by that? Yeah.
Sorry. Aye, just one thing that you're really looking forward to in front of a crowd. Yeah. What's the one thing you're missing?
Yeah, scoring goals, and not even just myself scoring goals, but scoring goals as a team with fans there, you know, in a beautiful sunny day in the middle of July or August, you know, when people are watching the games in shorts and T-shirt and things like that. Yeah, I think that's what everyone misses, isn't it? And I think yous will be the same. I think you just want to kind of be there. Like you said, you touched on your family and that as well, like your dad and that. I bet you just wish he could be there. And even for the likes of my grandparents used to go to every game, but now as the years go by, you know, it gets harder and harder to go to games. So you just want, it's such a shame that such a large chunk of seeing teams has been missed out. But I think, yeah, scoring goals and winning games and just getting over that line and winning 3 points or even a winter night, you know, to walking up the tunnel and seeing all the fans delighted, that would be brilliant.
Well, John, thanks very much for joining us. Hope you've enjoyed it.
No worries. Yeah, I have to. And no, like I say, thanks again for having us on. If we can't play or train at the moment, then I'd love to speak about it all day long. So good, I just stuff. Hope we can get back and I hope we see you in person very, very soon.
Yeah, I hope so. So that'll be it for this weekend. My thanks to both Martin and Jordan for joining me. Thanks for listening, everyone. And we'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.